Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is Clifton Collins Jr., who some of our more diehard sci-fi fans might remember as Ops Officer Tendo from Pacific Rim, but he is one of the co-leads in HBO's new Westworld miniseries, which I'm excited to get a hold of. Welcome to the show, Clifton.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you're playing Lawrence, who, from the descriptions, is someone recruited by Ed Harris's Man in Black to help him figure out what's going on.
Okay.
Is that accurate?
It's a piece of accuracy, yes.
Okay, so stop keeping us all in suspense. Tell us, what is Lawrence doing?
You just told me something that I didn't even know was out. One of them is, you read these things about the Charming Outlaw and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
I run around with Ed Harris and more or less shoot up the town. I mean, I like to just kind of water it down because at the end of the day, that's the kind of fun that it comes up for me. I mean, there's some very heavy emotional issues that are dealt with and some very real social issues that are also addressed. So I don't, without giving any spoiler alerts, messages aside, I'm just talking about the fun part.
Well, tell us about what made the fun part fun for you.
Well, I mean, for starters, I'm finally existing in a genre that my grandfather, built his whole career on, the Western genre. And to be a part of a Western that's on this level versus, all due respect for the independents, but, it's like my grandfather did the films with, like, Howard Hawks and Mervyn LeRoy and William Wellman and all the old great directors that inspired the directors that I get to work with today. So to be a part of something of this grandeur, to have people to be back in JJ's camp again and Nolan's camp again and working with many of the high-end crew members that I've worked with in the past is really a sheer joy. It's kind of like revisiting a beautiful, loving family. So to do that, and then the last piece of wardrobe that I get put on Lawrence is my actual grandfather's gun belt from all the John Wayne films that he did.
Oh, wow. That's unbelievable. Did anybody recognize how old it was or where it come from when you were on set?
Yeah, like half the crew. Like, they all knew it was Grandpa's gun belt. I sent JJ an email early on that I was in possession of it because I knew that there was a possibility they might make me a different kind of, a brand new gun belt kind of thing, which they did, and it was gorgeous, and I was down to do either or, but, being the collaborators that these guys are, and we talked about it, and then Jonah Nolan knew that I had this gun belt as well, so when it came time to put it on, they had the fancy nice one, they saw my grandpa's one, so they touched it up a little bit, but there was a lot of excitement on set, because I had guys like, hey, grandpa's gun belt, coming up and checking it out, and checking out the stitching, and the kind of designs, and stuff like that. It's fun.
Well, as a fan of Westerns myself, the tip of the hat is much appreciated. I can't wait to see that. What can you get into about, I guess, the emotional issues that Lawrence is involved in? Or can you?
I'm a piece of a giant moving puzzle, so it's hard for me to even articulate it. If I wanted to cough up all the beans, so to speak, I wouldn't be able to do so because I'm just one note in a beautiful song. A very important note that you hear quite often, and sometimes it's loud and softer. But I think the real thing with Westworld is it deals with a lot of morality and one's moral core. Like, what would you be willing to do? Get away with knowing that you could get away with it. If nobody's watching, does it make it okay to do certain things? It really questions. We all have a light and dark side in each and every one of us. So it's like, which side would you teeter towards if there were no repercussions? It makes you address, I think there's a lot of issues right now in our country and our society, with morality and compassion and empathy and all these things, and it really delves into a lot of that, those kind of issues. You know, to play God, you have to know the devil just a little bit.
Ooh, that's profound. Yeah. The dichotomy of humanity can you can be angelic and devilish. You know, you've got heaven and hell inside you at the same time. It's your choice which one wins.
I like to just rock one horn and one wing.
That must look awesome at Halloween parties. So what did you look forward most to when you were, I guess, reading for Westworld? When you saw this role, what got you the most excited?
I mean, honestly, how it went down was that I was wrapping up a film called Transpecos and driving in from New Mexico when I got a phone call that Lisa Joy wanted to sit down with me and pitch to me a character that they were creating. So it wasn't something that I had already previously known about. And I was a fan of the original 1973 Michael Crichton film. She both wrote and directed. And he really kind of set the table for this genre, this sci-fi western type genre, and also many other genres, like the whole Jurassic Park series. I mean, this is the original formula, the story formula for Jurassic Park, but instead of dinosaurs, they're more or less androids. So when she asked me to sit down and they pitched me this character and they talked to me about Ed Harris, who I'm a huge fan of, it was kind of a no-brainer. I couldn't say no. And plus, they knew my history and my family history, and I've worked with these guys before, and they're just, I couldn't be happier, truth told. It's a dream gig.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm a fan of Ed Harris's too. There's just the range that of everything he's appeared in over the decades is mind-boggling.
I love working with Ed. It's a blast.
So tell us about, I don't want to dive into any place that might go spoilery, but where does the Man in Black take Lawrence?
Where does he take him?
The journey.
That's a really good question. I don't think I could even really answer that because I don't really know it. That's the beauty of not being told too many things. And then also, I mean, I've got, you know, I think four or five films since Westworld. So it's so easy to convolute and confuse so many different storylines. And also this, you recall the original very well?
Not very well, but I do remember seeing it a couple times.
Yeah, I watched it again. And when you watch it, it's really, it's very engaging. I mean, now you've got things like, you know, you've got Samsung virtual reality goggles and things of that nature. So we're right there. We're right there at the starting line for a whole world of virtual reality. I mean, we can bring it in our homes now. So this is a kind of an interesting time for both technology, storytelling, HBO, the caliber of showrunners. It's the epitome of greatness. So it's kind of a dream combination, both socially, you know, and for entertainment value. There's just so many things going on with Westworld.
Yeah, I keep wondering when we're going to move into that space where a 3D movie isn't something you put glasses on to enjoy, but is actually projected out of a curved screen and the movie happens around you. We're almost there.
We're so, so close. I'm sure they've got versions of that. Yeah, we're very close.
So what are some of the other projects you've been working on?
Well, a passion project is my friend Gustavo Alvarez and myself, we put out a cookbook called Prison Ramen, and they're all original recipes from prison, ramen being the number one staple of currency, food. It's got many uses. I'll just share those two with you. and we donate 10% of the proceeds to Father Greg and Homeboy Industries, who work with at-risk gang youth. and they have a very high successful 70% success ratio versus the American prison system, which only has a 30% success. So that's something that we're pushing pretty hard, that we're very excited about. And a lot of my actor and celebrity friends stepped up. One of my greatest mentors, Samuel Jackson, did the foreword for us. Father Greg Boyle gave us a wonderful story and a recipe. And Danny Trejo gave us a couple stories from when he did time. But conversely, Jacob Vargas, who did time in a couple films, gave us that version. But then Clancy Brown, who played a CO in Shawshank Redemption and then played an inmate for Bad Boys with Sean Penn and Isai Morales. So he got to tell me both versions of those stories, which was really introspective for himself, and was really grateful for even having asked him to be in the book, because it gave him a chance to walk down memory lane and really talk about what he's learned. He was so young when he did Bad Boys, and then he's in his older adult career years when he did Shawshank Redemption. It's quite a journey.
Wow. That's the charity angle, the supporting the causes there is really admirable. I'd like to find out more about that, but we'll put that on the table for a second.
Sure.
The last question I have is, will there be any chance of seeing Tendo in Pacific Rim 2?
I don't have that answer for you. But a dear friend that's doing the movie, yeah, I don't think I'm in it.
Oh.
Who knows? I could get a phone call. Stranger things have happened, right?
Well, I, for one, hope you get that phone call, because I thought the character of Tendo was both awesome and hilarious and provided a character depth in that movie that I didn't expect. Just the camaraderie between him and the pilots of the Jaegers. So I appreciated it, and I hope someone gives you a call. Guillermo?
Guillermo's not really too involved with this second one. But Guillermo was very much involved with the collaboration and crafting of Tendo Choi. We both got down and sat there and threw the ball, and it's so much fun collaborating with that man. He's truly a gift to cinephiles and just that kind of a world. He's just really fascinating and such a joy to work with.
So we should start up a fan campaign to have Guillermo whisper in Steven's ear.
that might be helpful, but Guillermo's a pretty busy man, let me tell you.
Yeah, he is. Well, I for one hope that Steven has a flash of inspiration one night and gives you a call.
Well, I know Scott Eastwood's pretty excited.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So I just thought, man, it'd be dope to Tendo somehow came back and I got to work with Scott. That would be such a blast.
Well, I will have my fingers crossed for you.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. Cross your toe fingers too. Your toe fingers.
My fingers, and my toes, fingers. There you go.
I could use all the toe crossing, finger crossing I can get.
All right. Well, Clifton, thank you for your time today.
Thank you. That was fun. I appreciate you.
And that's Clifton Collins, Lawrence in HBO's Westworld, premiering October 2nd. Tune in.
It's Sunday.
That's it.
Sunday. Big doings. Big doings.
Thank you so much again.
Thank you, hon. You have a fantastic day.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Welcome to Tales of the Black Badge, a Wynonna Earp fan podcast. WynonnaEarpPodcast.com. Thanks again for checking in, and I hope you all take care.
I told that devil to take you back.
Tales of the Black Badge, presented by Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV.
Hey folks, this is Bruce Campbell, and this is my podcast. Thank you very much.
The reason I love these interviews is because you never know where that conversation might lead. It's always unexpected. Most of the time it's fun. And I enjoy every single moment of it. I don't know. How do we get Guillermo's attention or Stephen DeKnight's attention and say, hey, Pacific Rim Maelstrom, the sequel, Pacific Rim 2, you need Dendo. Got to get him in there. So if anyone out there is better at starting a Twitter campaign to get Stephen DeKnight's attention, wait, we follow him on Twitter. I wonder if that'll work. Worth investigating. Anyway, that will do it for this episode. There's too much TV to talk about, so I'm going to save it. We are going to do a Marvel Cinematic Universe episode coming up soon, and I have to get back to my binge watch of Luke Cage, okay? Because Netflix crapped out on me Friday night. It wouldn't play anymore. It wouldn't restart. Oh, I was just getting into it, too, and it just went, bye-bye, watch something else. And I know it wasn't my internet connection, because I was able to, like, jump over to Hulu just fine. So, yeah, I'm annoyed at Netflix, but I have to get back to my binge watch, so I'm going to keep this part short and sweet. If you have any questions or comments, the number is 602-635-6976. Feel free to leave a voicemail or ask a question. Or if you want to voice a longer opinion than the 2 minutes that that number will allow you, go ahead and record it yourself and email me a link to it. summer@sliceofscifi.com. Comments, questions, suggestions. Yeah, if there's somebody you want me to try to talk to, email that in. Call that in. I'm up for interviews, all sorts of stuff. And in case you're wondering more about Clifton's Prison Ramen book, there's going to be an interview about that appearing over on Writers After Dark real soon, okay? You can check out the show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, and of course on Krypton Radio. Leave us a review on iTunes or on Stitcher. Let people know, hey, this is a show you should check out because I like it. Check us out on Twitter, that's @SliceOfSciFi. Check us out on Google Plus, Slice of Sci-Fi, and also on YouTube, Slice of Sci-Fi there. And of course, come check out the websites, sliceofscifi.com. You can leave your own star rating review on the reviews our team does here. If you don't agree with the review, that's where you can leave your comment. There or on YouTube or sliceofscifi.tv, which we need more videos. Working on that. There's also popculturegeeks.com, where we branch away from the genre and into everything else. Comedic, romantic, action, all the movies, all the TV shows that break outside of the speculative fiction genres we are so addicted to. You'll find them over at popculturegeeks.com. Of course, writersafterdark.com, where I talk to all sorts of writers, creators, storytellers of whatever genre, whatever medium. Trying to get a hold of a few more comics writers, so bear with me on that part. And yes, you folks will be the second group to know. There will be a new Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas episode for October. It will be focused mainly on John Carpenter's The Thing, since a brand new extended edition gorgeous Blu-ray is out from the Shout Factory people, who do a really, really good job with those collector's editions. They have a collector's edition Blu-ray of Escape from New York, Buckaroo Banzai, They Live, one of my favorite thrillers, Manhunter, which is Michael Mann's adaptation of Thomas Harris's Red Dragon, which is the very first appearance of Hannibal Lecter. and a far, far better adaptation in my book, and I'm not just saying that because I'm a Michael Mann fan. So, anyway, thank you all for your pledges through Patreon. It does help keep things going around here. Your support is appreciated. And if you want me to give you a shout out on Twitter or on the website, let me know. What kind of other perks are you interested in? Let me know. If you want to join the other patrons and help keep the show going, all the shows going actually, the site is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. And as always, my thanks go out to the geek rock band Sci Fried for providing the theme music for this show. They've done... It's geek rock. They're a rock and roll band. They play geek music. They have their original songs. They have some funny adaptations. You can find more of their music over at their website, sci-fried.com. Go check them out. Tell them Summer says hi. But that'll do it. We will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.